Welcome to the
Wisdom.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. This is Mary Mike, your host. And which comes first, survival or joy of being alive? Ada Marie says, when you are healthy, it adds meaning to your life. Health leads to an open, happy approach to relationships, work, community, and life purpose. It just adds meaning to life. Mere survival is not enough. So Ada Marie has taught her clients for many, many years now how to love life and live long in harmony with their world. Welcome, Ada Marie. Happy to hear from you today.
Well, I'm happy to be talking with you, Mary. It's a wonderful time to be on the air because we're in the middle of summer, in the middle of winter and spring, and it's better to be indoors than it is out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, your long history as a life extension with life extension has led you to some good clues about how to live the easiest way in life instead of the hard way. Pain and suffering is out of the question, huh?
It is, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to tell you, if pain starts in, get rid of it. Just refuse, denounce it, tell it to go away. You have no time for it. And after a little practice with that, it'll get so you can do that. Most people go into pain and they think they deserve it, or they think they need it, or they use it for some purpose. But it's useless, and if you will just turn your head around and say, I do not accept this, it'll go away because it's not acceptable to the nervous system of the body. And if you mentally get rid of it, in fact, one of my wonderful clients called the other day and she had spilled some boiling, oh my, she'd spilled some boiling stuff out of a roaster as she lifted it out of the oven to take it to the counter.
Oh, boy, yeah, the grease, the hot grease, huh?
Right. She immediately rushed upstairs and sat down and went into her space and said, I do not accept this. I do not feel it. I do not have this pain, and I refuse to carry it. And my leg is perfect. My leg is absolutely perfect, and I accept nothing else. And in 15 minutes of seeing her leg perfect, her skin was perfectly normal, and there wasn't a pain or a scar on it. She stayed in the presence of God and in the presence of perfection and declared that perfection in that entire hip and leg. And in 15 minutes, only 15 minutes, she had already cured the problem. She needed nothing to put on it. It looked fine. The skin came back to its normal color, and she went back downstairs and went to work.
Well, you know, don't you find that sometimes some people almost romanticize pain?
Oh, I think a lot of people do, but, you know, it usually has a purpose to teach you, but your mental process is so strong that if you declare something, even for someone else, it could happen. Now, if you declare that you will not do something, you won't be able to do it. If you declare that you can do it, you'll find that after a prayer, it will work with ease. Sometimes people say, well, I can't do that anymore. That's ridiculous. If I couldn't do that anymore, Mary, I wouldn't even be talking to you.
I understand. I understand perfectly. But, you know, sometimes the very first thing people do when things go wrong is they start looking at how bad it can get. It's going to get so bad, and it's so, oh, my goodness, this is awful, and it's going to get worse, and how long it's going to take, and they kind of start making a career of it, you know?
Well, a lady came over about a month ago and said, I've got a cold. She'd been on a cruise. I said, well, here's some, put this under your tongue and take it. and go home and go to bed for 3 days, and it'll be over. And she says, oh, no, it'll last a month. And guess what? It has lasted 6 weeks. She declared it would last, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen her since she came back that one time. But when people declare something like that, they just bought the farm, honey.
I know, and all you can talk to them until you're blue in the face, but they're fixated on exactly how it's going to work.
Yeah,
because it's
always done that, because she's always done the same thing.
Yeah,
I had a lady come in a couple of years ago, or five now, I guess. I forgot how long. She just reminded me yesterday. She came walking in here with pneumonia, and I put some kerosene under her tongue. I said, go home and go to bed. Put a pitcher of water by the bed, go to sleep, and stay in bed for 3 days. She did. 3 days later, she got up. She felt fine. Her lungs were clear. She was perfectly fine because she declared herself perfectly fine. I said, when you go to bed, know you're in perfect health. And every time you wake up, think you're in perfect health. And you stay there for 3 days. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Stay there 3 days. And she came the other day and she said, you know, I started to get sick and I just drank my stuff and went to bed and didn't talk to anybody, didn't get out of bed except to go to the bathroom. And I'm fine today. So I know that it works because I do it myself and my husband does it, and he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of mental thought. Change how you think.
Change your
attitude.
I remember you're saying many times that you send healing, and the way you send healing to people is to focus and visualize them and just see them in perfect health. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And I have to do a lot of help for people who are passing over, and the family will call me. The healing I send at that time, Mary, and you should write it down, is I send them perfection to their best good.
Mm-hmm.
Not health. Good. Because if they are making a transition, we want them to be peaceful, harmonious, and reach that wonderful place feeling wonderful. And it is a wonderful place. Been there myself a few times. Pretty darn nice. But, you know, you send them for their best good. Whatever is their best good, that's what you send. And that's what they get. And it's wonderful. Wonderful. It just is. So
I always send them to the most beautiful place that they can possibly they're capable of receiving at this moment, and then they'll grow and go into even better and better and better.
Right. So everyone has the right to decide if they want to be healthy, and they can decide if they want to be sick. If they get enough attention by being sick, they'll be sick a long time. They'll find something wrong with them all the time. In fact, one doctor told me, he said, we wouldn't have any business if everybody thought like you do. He said, because
of course
they wouldn't come and we wouldn't be doctoring them. I said, well, I have to tell you something. I don't have time to run around and have somebody look at me and then tell me something that they don't even know the truth about. And he started laughing, and he said, well, we just have to, you know, there's all kinds of tests that we can give and all kinds of things. I said, yeah, that take months and tons of money. And I don't have that kind of money.
And the interesting thing is that they don't get paid when we're well.
No.
They only get paid when we're sick.
Yeah, right.
But you work. Could you tell me, if someone comes to you, and they are interested in longevity and living long and well and young and healthy, what's the first thing you tell them?
I tell them you have to change your attitude. when you change your attitude and you see yourself young and healthy. In fact, very often I will tell them to take a picture that they really like of themselves when they were young. And if they want to be, again, that healthy, put that picture on the refrigerator and look at it every day and see yourself becoming strong and healthy. And, you know, many people were slender when they were young. They can, within a year's time, they will go, believe me, from 2X to a size probably 20. Because they are looking at it, their eyes are absorbing it, the body is using it, the mind is working on it, and they'll oftentimes say, you know, I'm not even hungry. I said, then what are you eating for? It's a habit. I said, you don't need to eat. You need to eat when the body needs food.
Now, well, you don't eat by the clock, do you?
No. I eat breakfast. I have my oatmeal. Because I eat breakfast. I was raised on a farm. We always ate oatmeal. So we have our dish of oatmeal. We have our coffee. And, you know, that's... And then we have a roll or something, some piece of homemade bread. And that's it. And then the rest of the day, maybe don't even eat until 2. Now, tonight, we're having baked potatoes for dinner. So we'll have baked potato, and that'll be the whole dinner. It isn't like I'm doing a show today, so I'm not cooking a bunch of stuff in the kitchen. I'm here
baked
to
potato
do the show.
Salad is a wonderful meal.
That's
I
right.
Love it.
And that's all. Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. And when Troy and his wife were here, I cooked what they liked, and they liked everything I made. In fact, I made an apple cake, and he ate half of it. I didn't even know he'd ate it all. And there was only half of it left, so the next day I had to bake another one. But it was amazing. He just loved it. And it was healthy because it was all homemade, you know.
Sure.
So I gave him the recipe when they left. And I sent the recipe to a number of people. And one of the girls who had ordered the periods of the day, she got it. She'd had it. Now, this is her. She's going on into her third week, and she called me on the phone yesterday and said, I cannot believe how it has changed my business. I was having to borrow from my mother and dad and 3 weeks, and I'm on my own. She said, it worked so well. How did you ever figure that out? I said, I didn't figure it out. Somebody else did. But she's so happy.
So that was $10 well spent, huh? To send away for the.
Absolutely. Because when I send them when I send that to them, I also send them Miracles in Your Fingertips. You know, a book that
wonderful.
Has the Swedish bitters information in it.
Yes.
And
yes,
I send them that too. When I send it, because you're just sending this little. This piece of paper and this little attachment that they can carry in their purse takes no room, so I just add the Miracles in Your Fingertips because that will be helpful to them too, you know.
Oh, very good. And that's an extra incentive. Because you used to sell that for at least $10, didn't you?
Miracles in Your Fingertips is on the site for $15 for people who want to go to my store. There's the CD is on there for the sleeping thing too, but I used to have it on there for $15, that book, because if you actually sit down and study that book and memorize it, there's nothing you can't fix real quick as soon as it happens. You know, and if you have the Swedish bitters in the house, Swedish bitters is a very old formula made by Paracelsus years ago, as a little bit before Christ. And a Swedish doctor found the recipe, and he brought it back into the working force again. And if you cut yourself and you take and put Swedish bitters on it, it'll stop bleeding immediately, Mary. It'll stop the bleeding immediately. We were hauling wood, you know, for a week, and a wood pile fell down, and it took a slice out of my arm. It just went down my arm, and the bark on it just took a big hunk out of my arm, about an inch and a half or two. And I just went in the house, put some bitters on it, wrapped a rag around it, and put a pin on it, and went back to work. And that night I took care of it, but it had stopped bleeding, so I could put the bag balm on, put the bitters on, put the bag balm on, wrap it up. 3 days later, it had a nice, it had a real nice scab, and today there's not even a scar.
Great.
And that's only been, what, 3 weeks? So the bitters can be, you could drink it. I drink it at night. If I eat a dessert that's very sweet, I have a glass of Swedish bitters, a teaspoon of bitters in a glass of water, because I don't want to get diabetes, you know. I don't want anything like that.
Of course.
So
of course.
It stops all that paraphernalia. But
that,
you can get
worth,
it.
That's, go ahead.
It's worth its weight in gold.
So where do you get the Swedish bitters?
You usually can get it at a health food store, or Sprouts, or places like that. But if they really want to get it at a good price, I have a place, if they write for the paper, I can send it to them, and they can order it over the phone, and they can order it.
Oh, good.
It and, yeah. And it, instead of paying $29 for a pint, you pay $30 for a quart.
That's
a big
wonderful.
Difference. Yeah.
That's a very good bargain.
I keep it on hand all the time. So, you know, for anybody who...
And would you like to give your information so people can contact you?
Oh, I didn't... Oh, yeah. My website is The Golden Oracle, but my email address, is that it, Mary?
Yeah, is it .com, thegoldenoracle.com, right?
Yeah, Ada Marie at thegoldenoracle.com.
That's
yeah,
that's
Ada
your,
Marie.
Your email.
In front of it, at thegoldenoracle.com. And my phone number, which I take calls from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. I'm up at 4, so I'm ready to go by 6.
Okay.
It's 520-896-9510. Got it? 520-896-9510. And if you don't get me, leave a message and say where you're at so I don't call you in the middle of the night or get you out of bed in the morning. It helps if, you know, if you're in New York and I'm here, there's a few hours difference. And if you're someplace on an island, it's a lot of hours difference.
If you're in Hawaii, it's a different matter, isn't it? Or Australia. Yeah.
It's the other way around. So be sure to leave a time if you can, or a state that you're in so we know what time you have. Because many people will call me and say, this is so-and-so, and I live in... I live in some city, but they don't tell me what state the city's in.
Yes, I
understand. They'll say, I live in some city, and I don't know the city and what state it's in. So then I try to call back, and very often I get somebody in the middle of the night. That's not good.
Like for example, I listened to something on APR. They were talking about Australia, Centralia. And there was a Centralia in southern Illinois. And I'm thinking they're talking about southern Illinois. And they're talking about Pennsylvania, you know. So I didn't know there was
really?
Yeah. So, and there's a Peoria in Kansas, and the main Peoria that I know of is in Illinois, you know. So
and there's another Peoria in Arizona.
You do have to give the state.
Yeah, there's a Peoria in Arizona, up above Phoenix. So
interesting.
There's also a Peoria in Southern California. So you know, whenever they say, they need to say what state they're in. It helps.
I guess those Indians moved around a lot. there was a tribe of Indians. So now, Ed, when you start working with someone and you they really seriously want to work on, say they had a stroke, they don't want to be an invalid the rest of their life. They want to live a healthy, happy life. How would you go about working
with
them?
Well, the first thing I would do is tell them to believe that they're perfect again. But if I looked at the bottom of their feet, I could tell them what to do, exactly how to come out of that stroke, and exactly how to move around, you know, to make that paralysis lessened. And most of it comes through the working on your feet, the reflexology that they talk about. It's wonderful. Or the other place I send them is to acupuncture. Acupuncture and reflexology will put your legs or arms or whatever is paralyzed back in focus. It will do it. So
I know there are contact points on the feet for every organ in the body.
That is correct.
Of course, I don't. Yeah, so you actually use acupressure points. How about this book? You say at your fingertips. Miracles at your finger. Do you teach some of the contact points in that? Is that right?
That's right. I teach as many as I can get in that little book with diagrams on how to use it. Like one of the ladies who got the periods of the day, she said, "My goodness, I read that book. I couldn't believe it. I found out I could stop my nose from running with two fingers on my chin." And she said, it actually worked. So, you know, it's full of little things that you can do that will help you function more better. Function in a happier manner.
You know, the body is a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't need to take a pill. And my husband went to have a hernia surgery, and I asked him to bring his medicine. He said, "I don't take any." And the lady looked at him. She says, "Everybody takes something." And he says, "Well, I don't take anything." They couldn't believe he didn't take anything, because we don't even take aspirin.
No, aspirin is. I wonder about doctors who have people take aspirin every day to prevent a heart attack. What do you think about that?
I just think that they ought to take care of their body instead, because if your blood is free flowing and everything is moving right and you sleep well and you have you eat reasonably smart and you don't do anything out of moderation and you don't drink heavy, you don't smoke heavy, all this crap that causes a problem, you know, then you can take care of yourself pretty well. How did the people do? At the turn of the century, they were living to be 80, 90, and 100 years old. A great-grandmother lived to be 100 years old. Another one lived to be 98.
Yeah.
I mean, good God. How did they do that? They didn't go to the doctor.
That's right.
That's what I keep saying. Doctors are practicing. They're using people to practice on.
Well,
and that's what
you know,
they're doing.
There was not a medical establishment 250 years ago.
That's right. And if there was a doctor, he worked hard and he tried to get you well. He didn't try to give you a pill.
Absolutely,
because he
had too many people to take care of for you to run in every time you got a hangnail.
So. I have nothing against people going to the doctor, like the lady that had the cold for almost 6 weeks now. That's her choice, and I'm not going to take that choice away from her. I think that's perfectly fine. If that's the way she wants to do it, that's good. But I also think a little common sense helps a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like when my friend scalded her leg with the roast, she knew how to go and get upstairs and get away from everybody and sit down and go into meditation, and in 15 minutes she had healed herself.
Right.
She went into the silence. She saw her perfection. She held her perfection. She knew it was perfection because she stopped the burning. She stopped the pain. She stopped everything. She got those clothes off and took care of herself. And in 15 minutes, her skin was normal again. Now, it takes some training, self-training, to be able to do that. But because she had been trained, she knew how to do it.
Uh-huh.
And she did it. She went back downstairs and put food on the table for the family and the visitors. Nobody could believe it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
it's quite remarkable, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a common thing if people realize how much power the mind has and how the mind can change things instantaneously or within minutes or a little bit of time. Just years ago a man had a heart attack, in San Francisco. He had moved away and he had a heart attack. Well, he called up, and I went and took care of him for 30 days. He went back to the doctor. The doctor looked at him and examined him, and he says, "What year did you have this heart attack?" And he said, "Well, actually, I had it 30 days ago. He said, "What?" Okay. He said, "Look on your book. You operated on me." And the doctor said, "What?" He said, "This woman sitting beside me worked on me for 30 days. So I could come back and you could take a look at me." And he looked at me and I said, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "Well, what did you do?" And I said, "Well, I did several things." And he said, "I can't believe it." And he took another look at the chart on his blood and all this stuff, and he couldn't believe it. He said, "Well, you're a pretty lucky man. That's all I can say for you." And he's still alive.
Uh-huh.
And that was, my goodness, that was 40 years ago, and he's still living.
My goodness.
He had a birthday on the 4th of January.
Oh, my. That's wonderful. So you work with people over the years sometimes.
Well, I work with people when I see they want to accomplish it. If I work with someone and the first time, and they're better, and they come the second time, and they haven't done anything, I don't work with them a third time. Because there's plenty of people that'll come that want to be healthy and are willing to do whatever they're asked to do for themselves to get well. So they only have two chances. If they come the first time, and they get better, and they're working on getting better, they can have the second treatment. If they get the second treatment, and they're working with it, and they're making it go, yes, then they might need a third one.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's a matter of them wanting to be well, not wanting attention, but wanting to know how to be well. I worked with a man for 7 years who had the capacity to be one of the finest healers I had ever met, only to find out at the end of 7 years that he didn't want to be well. He liked the attention he got from being sick. He had everybody on pins and needles because he was always going to die because he'd had a heart attack.
Oh, dear.
You know?
It
was a criminal thing he did to those people. It was totally wrong. So, you know, that was so painful when I thought that.
You couldn't continue to humor him.
I actually couldn't. It hurt so bad to see that he did not want to be well. He just wanted the attention of being sick. And when that light bulb went on in my head, I finally, you know, I finally woke up to reality. But it's so weird.
Yes, it's so fascinating. But you see, this is your integrity. And I believe that there is a lot more that you do, that you teach people, but you also, I think that you send thought patterns that if they supply the energy and they work with you, it's like a team.
Well, the people who are on my healing circle, because I have a healing circle. Once I've worked with people, they're free to join the healing circle, which is $50 a month, and it gives them 1 hour of free counseling every month, and they can use it in increments of 2, 10, 20 minutes. But when I see that they are healing and they're on that circle, and every morning, that's what I'm doing in the morning, Mary, like I'm sending you healing, and I'm sending Eileen healing, I'm sending Fred healing, I'm sending Wayne healing, I'm sending Shirley healing, I'm sending Lynn healing, I'm sending it out,
yes,
I'm sending Cherie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how the healing works. I go into a channel. I go into a clear channel, totally silent. And as each name comes to me, I see them perfect, mentally, physically, and emotionally. I see them perfect. And if their vision, if I see the vision of them holding, I send it until that vision stops and they go forward. So I do a lot of people. There's over 1,000 people that I work with every single day. And if I miss the morning healing, I send it a little bit later when the air clears. At the phone, if I'm on the phone at 5 o'clock because I got an emergency in, I take care of that, then I go back and I do those healings, and I don't miss, and I do them at night before I go to bed. So I spend a great deal of my time in channel, talking to God, getting insight on what to do and how to send and where. So I'm working on I'm working on something right now that is very, very, and I think I read it to you once, about healing the nation of the hate that enables destructive forces to act. Didn't I send that? Yeah. I'm still doing that.
You read it to me, and we were sort of talking back and forth.
Yeah.
About ideas. I love trading ideas with you.
You know,
when two healers are better than one.
Well, and my friend Marilyn, who I work with as a healer too, she's very, very good, and she's very dedicated. And because we are dedicated, I always feel like we are accomplishing something, you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I had met one man years ago who was an excellent healer. He was an Indian man. And when he passed, it was from Montana. When he passed, of course, we were all really, really saddened. And then I met this other person who had the same exact energy, the same energy for healing. The healing was so obvious that he sent his brother a healing because his brother was having trouble with his feet and couldn't walk well. He sent his brother a healing, and the healing took within 24 hours. And I knew that this person, had they not wanted to be sick all the time, they could have done wonders helping to heal. I mean, sending healings and you know, doing that kind of work. I mean, they could have been well themselves. They could have healed themselves and been well. And because the stream of gold energy that comes down, that stream of gold, gold is God, was almost 3/4 of an inch wide as it came down through his chakra. I was impressed. And then to see the kind of attitude and energy, I'm thinking, why would that come like that when the person's energy wasn't with it, when their attitude wasn't with it? So that I prayed about a lot, because I'd never seen that before. I'd seen other people that became healers, and they had healed themselves, and they did real well, and they were actually very proud of themselves as a healer. And, you know, it's just amazing, because there many things are added on to you as you heal. There's many things that are added on, and you can just be amazed at what you can learn.
You know, my spirit guides have added something to that. There are some people who use illness to avoid things that disturb them, or to get out of things that they don't want to do, or to get away from people who are draining them.
Well, they're probably draining people, you know.
But this is, for example, there a woman who has absolutely no time for herself and doesn't know how to say no to anybody, and people are pulling on her constantly, people in the family, people, children, all kinds of people, and she doesn't have a minute to herself, except when she gets a migraine. And then everybody leaves her alone. Everybody leaves her alone when she has a migraine. And it seems to be a useful thing for her, but there could be a much, much better, healthier, and easier, and more intelligent way to get time for herself.
Yeah, just
and that's one of some of the things that I work on.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. In fact, let me tell you, a real cure for a migraine headache, which is probably 1,000 years old, if you take 2 whole nutmegs in a quart of water and boil them down to 1 pint of water, and be careful, don't boil them below a pint because they're too strong, then you drink, when that water cools, you drink a cup of that water. That's the end of the migraine headaches. They will not come back.
Ever?
And that works every time.
Now, would you say it again?
Yeah,
the formula
I'll be happy to.
Is begin with how much water?
You take 1 quart of water and 2 whole nutmegs. You can buy whole nutmegs in the market. You boil that down to 1 pint. And boil it halfway down to 1 pint, and then you drink a cup of that water.
Okay.
And the migraines will stop, and they will not come back.
That's amazing.
When my mother was young, she had migraine headaches, and she would just fall over in a faint. And when my when her grandmother came, which is my great grandmother, came to visit. She saw her, she said, "Monty, this is foolishness." And she got right up and dug around in her luggage and got 2 nutmegs, and she boiled them down. And when they cooled off, she said, "Monty, you're going to drink this. This is it. You've had enough of this nonsense." And she drank the nutmeg tea, and that was the end of her migraines. And she had them so bad she'd throw up and be sick, you know. But that stopped it, and that's a wonderful thing for people to know. It's in my book of healing, my cookbook, my, you know, kitchen cupboard remedy book.
Kitchen cupboard remedies.
Yeah, kitchen cupboard remedies, and it's definitely.
And how does one get that? They can order it on your website on the Golden Oracle.
Well, they can, but I make them up as I get orders for them. There's 65 pages in that book.
Okay.
And it's real. It takes, so I make them up as people order them. So.
Okay.
Anyway, that. But if anybody out there is listening and has migraine headaches or knows of somebody who does, please share that recipe, because that'll stop that pain. And boy, I tell you, a migraine headache is painful. I've seen people just curled up and over the toilet, thrown up from a migraine headache. And it's really sad. And I too keep some in my purse. I have a little tin box with them in it. And if I happen to be someplace where somebody mentions it, I pop out a couple and tell them how to use them.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I do carry them.
It's, you know, well, your pharmacopoeia, huh? You carry your pharmacy with you.
Well, very little, but that is one thing that I feel so sorry for men or women who have them. And it's mostly women.
Yes, I've noticed that. Yes,
yeah,
that's true. Though I once dated a fellow who had migraine headaches.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
And they are very, very painful. Oh my goodness, just so painful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
so.
When
you work with someone who is interesting in living long and well, do you work with them on a regular basis, or
what normally happens is, I used to teach classes in L.A., and I would work with somebody that was recovering from a heart attack or a stroke, or a liver problem. And I would work with them on their feet and on their with the teaching of how to change your attitude and how to sometimes what happens is something will grab somebody so hard that they cannot let go of it. They cannot get it out of their mind. And when that happens, There's a reason for that, and a lot of times the reason is not a good reason, it's not a positive one, and they need to be able to let go and let God. So I have a bath after I was stabbed. I was really very weak. In about the third year, I was given this bath that I use, and whenever something would come and I would feel like I was just so angry. I was so upset. I just wanted to die. I was so mad. I would take this bath, and sometimes I'd have to take one every day for 3 days, but I would take it. It would take away that painful situation out of my mind. But the first thing I did, what I was told, was to wash my hands and face with salt water. Now, Mary, if you're really upset about somebody or something and you want to get that energy out of your head and be positive and know that they're going to do better, just wash your hands and face with salt water and then thank God for the healing, because it'll take that negativity out of your head right now, and it won't be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that person will change.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
I sell that bath to many chiropractors and many doctors, and they use it. They sell the bath. I sell the bath for $15. They sell it for $30. And they sell a lot of it. I have to make it up sometimes twice a month and mail it, you know.
Yeah.
So... I do a lot of things. When people come here and they're doing a 3-day retreat here at my retreat house, they get all that information so they can use it for a fellow member of their family or a friend. You know, they have it. They walk out of here with it, so they have it. Okay. They have a material in their hands that they can refer to. It's a real important thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do.
That's very good. So there's many other things that you have done for over the years. I mean, you've been doing this for many, many years.
Yes, I have. But
the interesting thing that I hear from you that we never hear from the medical profession is that you only work with the people who are willing to work with you.
Right.
You see, so many times we have a fix me mentality. We have a fix me population here.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm.
Yeah, but it isn't somebody else fixing you. It's you fixing you.
Of course. But what are you going to do if they're not around?
Yeah,
and
I think it's backward.
When I first started doing healing, I didn't know that. You know, when you as you begin to do something that
you
fought all your life against.
You know, you the sun comes up every day, right?
Exactly.
Do we put a dime in the jar for the sun to come up?
No.
I mean, I always say to people, well, you know, you can't trust anything. I said, wait a minute. If you don't trust yourself, you can't trust anybody. You're right about that. But if you're a thief or a liar or a cheat, then you can't trust yourself because you never can remember what you said, right? So I wouldn't
exactly.
want you to be the person that was picked to put the dime in the jar for the sun to come up because you'd forget. And
uh-huh.
you'd have an excuse and a reason. So I have to tell you, there's one place you can go where you're only going to get the truth. And you're only going to get the truth because you asked a question, so if you didn't want the answer, you shouldn't have asked. And that's to the man upstairs, to the universal
mm-hmm.
energy force. That universal energy force, and you can call it what you want, that's where your information comes from. And if you learn how to go into the silence and do that, and I do that at least once a day and sometimes more, you go into the silence and you be silent and you come out of the silence and you're just completely peaceful. You don't know anything, but you are at peace because the energy that you went after is going to be given to you when it is time. It may not
mm-hmm.
come right now, but it will come. When people call for a counseling, very often I don't have an answer. And I say to them, if I get an answer for you, I will call you back.
Yes.
And I do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because
very good.
You don't always get the answer at the moment. If you get the answer, it comes flying out of your mouth, and you can't stop
yes.
it.
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
So, a really sad thing, I was working with some people, and it was in their living room, and their older son was sitting in a chair, and something had been stolen, something very valuable. And the lady said, we know one or two people took it, and can you tell us? And I stopped real quick. I said, are you sure you want this answer? And the husband
yes.
said, yes. And I gave the answer, and the guy was sitting in the room.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he just turned
boy.
White.
He
but
must
see,
have.
Sometimes you're put on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
and it's not easy.
No,
so.
It certainly isn't, and it's good. It's a good that you ask the question if they really want the answer.
Oh, I do that a lot of times because I know right away that it isn't going to be the answer they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it isn't because their auric field tells me it isn't. So.
Right.
That's
so
what
how
happens,
did the
but I,
how did the gentleman who wanted the truth, when he got the truth, what happened?
He just looked at his son. He just looked at him. That's what he did.
Yes.
He didn't say a word. He just looked at him.
And he knew?
Well, he knew because the boy reacted.
Sure.
He was a man, you know, a young man in his 30s, and he reacted. And the father said nothing, and the mother was crying.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
you know,
uh-huh.
it was not a good picture. And I said, I'm sorry. And the father said, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
So that was the only reply I got.
Okay, so he got what he needed. So with that information, he was able to deal with his son in a different way than probably
right.
he ever had before.
Right. Right.
So you did a service. So as I see it, you are saying, as I say to people, healing is a partnership. We work together. You can deliver all of the energy in the world, and if the person doesn't use it, you might just as well not have bothered.
If they don't use it, if they don't make use of it, stop sending.
Right.
And most of the time those people will say, well, I didn't feel anything. Well, they're not supposed to feel anything. They're supposed to mentally become aware. And you know, so what stupidity is that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're expecting to feel, you know.
Well, you know, if somebody sends you, if somebody says they love you, you feel that mm-hmm. warmth if it's genuine.
Absolutely.
But if they tell you they love you and you don't, nothing is, there's nothing there between you and them,
mm-hmm.
then mm-hmm. there is no love there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a usury. What can you do for
well,
me?
Well, in other words, it's the sincerity.
Right.
And you can send love without being in love with someone.
Well, there's two different things. To send pure divine love has nothing to do with being in love.
Exactly.
You don't tell people you're in love with them if you're not, but you can send them pure divine love. And you usually do that with everybody, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you care about. You send them pure divine love, and you do love them, but you love them as a beautiful soul with divine
exactly.
with a divine energy.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I send that pure uh-huh. divine love to lots of people. In fact, I don't work with mm-hmm. anybody that I don't surround them in pure divine love and light.
Okay.
So if they go on my site, they'll see that that's how I answer them when I send them something is with divine love and light.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a physical thing. It's a growing thing on for most people to see how it is to live in a harmonious situation with divine love and light and not physical love, which causes problems and anger and jealousy and hate. Yeah, that's what that causes.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
But I believe the more and more as we work together and have these discussions and the energy is flowing so freely between us, I see that whatever we do is a combination of this of the physical, mental, and that incredible divine energy that we can't even describe. It's
right.
So wonderful.
Right. We had someone on the line. Did they hang up?
One did. We have another one on the line, but this person doesn't seem to want to, and doesn't seem to have a question. Though, let me just double check.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You're getting the energy that there should be there's a question there. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Ada Marie is getting a feeling that you might have a question. Do you want to ask a question? By the way, what's your name?
Mary, this is Candy.
Okay. And did you want
to... Are you talking to me, Mary?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to ask a question?
Earlier that she had mentioned in the very beginning of the show that somebody said that they were sick with pneumonia, and she
uh-huh.
said that she told them to put kerosene under their tongue. Is
yeah.
that what I
uh-huh.
did? Did I hear her correctly?
Yes, three drops. That's how my dad treated us when we were kids, and we still do it. I treated my kids, and I still take it. If I get a cold, I take some under my tongue, and that's it. And you
lay down. Three drops. Only three drops.
Yeah, on the end of a teaspoon.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I have a sinus problem. I received a referral from my doctor over a month ago. I called the doctor, and he can't see me until sometime in May. And I've been
just go to the hardware store, and you can buy a quart of kerosene. You're not going to take that much. You're only going to take a little bit under your tongue, and then drink some water and go to bed.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That works for sinuses too.
Huh?
Excuse me?
That works for sinus trouble.
Yeah. It's
okay.
It works for pneumonia, works for colds, it works for what do they call it? Bronchitis. Works for anything. It's an old remedy from the farm, and it works.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ada.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mary.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's an old remedy. People say, it's poisonous. Well, you're not going to drink a whole quart. You're only going to take a few drops. You know, I still take it. I'm headed way up there now, so...
Well, you know, homeopathy works with microscopic amounts of poisons.
Anything is poison if you take too much of it. You know,
of course.
And you can eat a food and make it a poison if you gorge yourself on it. One lady came to me and she ate. And you're not going to believe this. She was a tent. She wasn't even a 3X, 4X, or 5X. She was a 10.
Oh, my.
And you know what she did? I looked at her and I said to her, I said, do you like green beans? And she said, yeah. I eat a bushel every day. I said, you've got to be kidding me. You're joking. Aren't you joking? She says, no. I buy a bag on the way to work, and I buy a bag on the way home, and I buy a bag at lunch.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to her, I said, honey, you're asking me to help you become smaller, not lose anything. If people lose weight, they gain twice as much. If they become smaller,
absolutely,
they will stay smaller. So I said, well, I'm going to tell you how to become smaller. Okay. And she said, well, what do I have to do? I said, in your case, it's pretty simple. Stop eating green beans. And she said, but I love them. I said, honey, they're poisoning you. Your body's filling up with water to protect itself.
Uh-huh.
But Mary, the truth is that if they these people who are lose this, lose that, lose something else, the body
nobody likes to lose anything. Yeah.
Because the body won't give it up. Once you quit that diet, you'll gain 20 pounds. Lose 10, you'll gain 20. But if you become smaller, like if when people come to me, I've taken many, many heavy people down to a regular diet weight. The first thing I tell them is you're going to stop dieting and you're going to stop losing weight. You're going to become a size. Get into your picture box and find a picture of yourself that is a weight that you liked. Put it on your refrigerator.
25 years ago, I had a beautiful woman who was way overweight come to me. And she said, I've got to lose weight. And I said, no, you don't want to lose weight. You're not going to lose weight. You're going to get gorgeous. And she said, I'm going to get gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she lost. She got to the size she wanted to be, but she wanted to be gorgeous. She got it. It was amazing.
Well,
listen, we have to go. Is there one thing that you'd like to say? You want to repeat your telephone number again?
Yeah, I will. My website is adamarie@thegoldenoracle.com, and my phone number is 520-896-9510. and you can call between 6 in the morning and 7 at night. And that's it.
And I want you all to have
a wonderful week.
And love and light. Bye. And
to everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ada Marie. Okay, there we go.